Okay, well, again, it's good for us to be back together today, and we will continue our study in the book of Revelation, beginning with chapter 17 today. So if you want to open your text to chapter 17, that's where we will be. Now, being that we've been apart here for 2 or 3 weeks, just take just a brief moment to kind of review where we've been. As you know, Revelation can be divided several different ways. One of the ways is into two parts, the first one being chapters 1 through 11, and the second one being chapters 12 through 22. Now, in chapter 12 and 13, we encountered five creatures, or five beings, if you will. We were introduced to the woman that represents God's people, the male child. We were introduced to the dragon that Scripture tells us who he is, and that's who? Satan, chapter 12. And then in chapter 13, the dragon called forth two allies to help him on his mission to persecute the church, and that being the sea beast and the land beast. Then chapters 14 and 15 was a brief interlude before we got to the last set of seven bowls or seven vials of wrath. Let me say that I apologize for our outline this morning. I had it at home, and I thought I had it in my notebook. And when I got here and looked, it must still be laying on my desk. So I've got chapter 17, and we'll be on this for a couple of weeks anyway. So I will bring that to you the next time we are together. So chapter 14 and 15 was the interlude. And we were again introduced to the 144,000 there. Chapter 16, we saw the seven bowls of wrath, and it concluded with verse 17 of chapter 16. That being the seventh angel pouring out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." So we looked at seals, we looked at trumpets, and then we looked at bowls of wrath. And each one of those series of seven things got progressively worse. But here we find this last one, the seventh bowl in chapter 16, was the final one. So it is finished. That brings us down to chapter 17, which is where we will begin today. Chapter 17 is one of the more difficult chapters in the book. Overall, it's not that hard, but because of two or three verses in the middle of chapter 17, it's extremely difficult, those verses, that is. So we're gonna look at those separately. We're going to look at the entire chapter 17 first, and then we'll go back and we'll look at those verses 8 through 11 there. That's probably the most challenging verses in the entire Bible. So we're not going to skip over them. We'll go back and look at them, but we'll do that probably the next time we're together. So we've looked at the dragon, the devil. We've got the sea beast, which is the Roman Empire. We've got the land beast, which is the religious system that grew out of the Roman Empire, that was also called what else in chapter 16? What else was the land beast called in chapter 16? Verse 13. The false prophet. The false prophet. The false prophet, okay? All right, so in chapter 17, these figures continue. And what seems like initially that we're introduced to a new character is really not a new character. We've seen her before. In the second part of Revelation, remember chapters 12 through 22, there are two women. We saw one in chapter 12 that we've already referred to today that we said represented God's people. And we're introduced to another one today, and we need to draw some stark contrast with her. The chapter 12 woman was described with good things, the sun, the moon, the stars. And in chapter 17, we're introduced to this woman that's the complete opposite of the one in the first woman in chapter 12, beginning with how we refer to her. Chapter 17, the New King James calls her the great harlot. And some of the older versions maybe even use language a little more crude than that, but a very derogatory way to make a reference to her. And if you look at verses 1 through 6, we'll look at several things that we'll identify with her. Verse 1, rather, she's referred to as the great harlot. Verse 2, we have fornication. Verse 3, she's on a beast that is has names, blasphemous names. Verse 4, she's arrayed in splendor and royalty. And then verse 4 is also mentioned, made of abominations and filthiness. And then in verse 6, reference is made to violence and persecutions here. And so this woman here that we read about in verses 1 through 6, we think, well, is this a new character that we're introduced to in Revelation? Let me just go ahead and kind of give you a little spoiler alert here. We're going to cut to the chase. Look over in verse 18, because it says, and the woman you saw is what? Is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So here's another situation where Scripture interprets for us and tells us who that woman actually represents, and that is, represents that great city, which we know is what? Rome. So this woman here is just another representation of the city of Rome here. Okay, let's begin now in verse 1, and we're just going to read through the text here, verses 1 through 18, and make a few references and comments as we go. Not spending a whole lot of time in verses 8 through 11 this time through. We'll go back and look at them as they stand alone, okay? All right, verse 1 and 2. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. A couple of observations here. Right off the bat here, we link what's going on here back to the seven bowls, because the angel who is talking to John here is one of the seven angels from the seven bowls of wrath. So chapter 17 here is kind of linked back to chapter 16 in that the spokesman initially to John here is one of those angels that was bearing the seven bowls of wrath from chapter 16. Now you might want to circle or underline the word waters here. It says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." I've got my mind circled there and a reference down to verse 15. What does that mean, waters? Well, again, Scripture interprets itself down in verse 15, because it says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So we have it very clear here. Verse 18 tells us who the harlot is, that is the city of Rome. And verse 15 tells us what the waters represent, and that is the peoples. And so we have, come and I'll show you the judgment that's about to fall on the great city here, who's over many peoples and nations and tongues and multitudes. Very clear here when Scripture makes its own, makes it easy for us when Scripture makes its own interpretation there. And then in verse 2, we have a reference to fornication being made here. Very fitting here that she's referred to as a harlot here as far as the idea of fornication. But this is not literal fornication. We're talking about a city here that this harlot represents. Fornication often represents apostasy, spiritual, religious apostasy in the Bible. And if you want to cross-reference here, that would be Jeremiah 2, 20 through 25. Gives you a good cross-reference of when religious apostasy is referred to as fornication. So we have the city of Rome, and we know how much apostasy has occurred there and how far away from God that the city of Rome is. And so when we read this, the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So this is not hard at all here based on some of the things that we've talked about. Let's continue. Verse 3. So he carried me away, this angel here that's talking to John, carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Now the wilderness, when the woman, back in chapter 12, when the woman was fleeing into the wilderness was a place of protection at that point. Wilderness also can refer to a place of desolation and ruins, and I think that's more the idea here. He carried me away in the spirit into this wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now let me ask you a question. What comes to mind when you see seven heads and ten horns? When have we saw that before? What that expression, seven heads and ten horns. Look back to chapter 13. Just flip back real quickly to chapter 13, verse 1. And this was when Satan was calling forth. Satan was standing on the sea, at the seashore, and called forth the sea beast. And it says, I saw a beast rising up out of the sea having what? Seven heads and ten horns. So here we've got this beast back over here in chapter 17 that the woman is sitting on, who was full of names of blasphemy and having seven heads and ten horns. There's no doubt in my mind that this beast that she's sitting on here represents the Roman Empire. That's the sea beast that we've already been introduced to before. So, blasphemous. Who is the emperor of the Roman Empire now? Domitian. And what is Domitian asking people to do or requiring people to do? He's requiring them to fall before him and call him Lord Caesar Domitian. He's requiring them to refer to him as a god. Blasphemy, see? So that's a perfect description here of this beast. The woman, now let's go back to her in verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup. Now stop right here. The description we have of this woman is she's arrayed beautifully so that she attracts a lot of attention. The words is purple, you know, that's royalty. Scarlet. She has gold and precious stones and pearls and a golden cup. So all of these are just symbols of luxury and wealth. But now finish what verse 4, having a golden cup in her hands full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Now who is the woman? Who is the woman? City of Rome. Let's keep it clear who we're talking about. The city of Rome here. The city of Rome is who we're dealing with. That's verse 18. And on her forehead a name was written. Now here's the name. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Forever, since this was written here, it's been very clear that Babylon here refers to the city of Rome. I found it interesting. I've shared this book with you before. I've got a book at home that talks about the early Christian writings and the beliefs of the early Christian fathers. And one of them is Victorinus in AD 280. And I found a quote in his writings there that said unequivocally that Babylon, in this reference right here, that Babylon is the Roman state. I mean, that's just it's been clear for centuries and still is to us. We're talking about the city of Rome here and the Roman Empire. Verse 6 says, I saw the woman. City of Rome. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. I've referred to before that I've had experience with alcoholics in my growing up and in my past. And when I read this expression, drunk, it calls to mind someone like an alcoholic that is addicted to alcohol. Drunk. That sort of thing, a person who is addicted to alcohol like that can take one drink and they can can't stop with one. They go get another one, and they go get another one, and they go get and they keep on, and on. They can't stop. That's kind of what I read here as I say this woman is drunk, only she's not drunk. The Roman Empire, the city of Rome here, not drunk on alcohol, but on what? What does it say? On the blood of the saints and blood of the martyrs. So it's almost like killed one, and then I can't stop. The more I kill, the more I want to kill. And so widespread persecution here that's happening here, and just like an alcoholic addicted to the bottle here, just persecutions. And killing. And John says this in the last statement here. He says, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So let's go on down in verse 7 here and begin reading some more of the meanings of the woman and this beast. Any questions or comments about 1 through 6 before I move on?
When you're talking about Rome, could that be the apostate Rome, the institution that came into being that